The Embrace of Pain by Ian St. Martin. Performed by John Banks, Antonia Beamish, Robin Bauman, Steve Conlin, and Louis Soto. In the nightmare realm of the Eye of Terror, reality mingles with the warp beyond. It is purgatory, dwelling place of the outcast and the damned. Yet even those twisted souls who call it home could never claim safety from its fractious storms. Planet-sized gales of howling faces blink into twisted life before melting back into the ever-shifting tides. Shadows gather beneath the tortured depths of raw emotion. Schools of beings that know neither death nor life, parting for the passage of great leviathans that blot the stars themselves. Ruin swims through everything, and all it requires to take root is a moment, the slightest flaw in even the most resolute of defenses. The diadem carves through such gruesome currents, its hull of bleached purple and pearlescent silver shining within the protection of its Geller field. The halo of golden light flares as the ether assails it, repelling the swarms of Neverborn, hungering for the souls beneath the ancient warship's iron skin. Waves of demonkind crash against the vessel, leaving a comet's trail behind it as they immolate and dissolve back into the base matter of the Sea of Souls. From across its crenellated hull, 1,296 statues stand in silent repose. The lithe musculatures and savage claws of their inert forms shine in the infernal light with myriad lusters. Eyes of platinum, flawless marble and smoked glass stare unblinking, a frozen army of repulsive seduction focused on the warship's bridge. They watch in silence, their gaze never wavering, as a shadow falls over the diadem. They watch in silence as a new storm appears. A sprawling morass of vile corruption blooms like a diseased aurora, extending cancerous tendrils over the diadem's hull. A deluge of mucus and blood-laced pus smashes down, drowning the warship in poison even as it burns at the Geller field's touch. Deep within the diadem, ancient machines choke and spark. Placating entreaties chitter from the cowls of the robed heretics surrounding them, struggling to maintain the Geller field against this immaterial assault. The bones of the warship shudder in a chorus of protesting steel as its engines labor to break free of the caustic quagmire. The corridors and passageways of the diadem, their walls vibrating with deafeningly discordant rhythms in concert with the blinding, kaleidoscopic glare, are suddenly plunged into complete, silent darkness. Serfs in heavy suits of insulated rubber scurry through the passages, alarmed by the sound of their own panicked hearts. The things that live in the shadows rejoice, shrieking with delight as their hunting grounds swell. Where other vessels of grim quiet and wan light would explode with the cries of klaxons, their corridors drowning in crimson emergency lighting, aboard the diadem, gloom and quiet accomplish the same jarring alarm. Something has slipped through the Geller field. Something is now on board. It begins as a single spore, barely beyond a microbe in scale when it manifests. The frigid air of the diadem's main embarkation deck shivers around it as it divides and multiplies. Within moments, it is the size of a clutch of eggs, a fetid, brackish mass of quivering virulence. Dark, indistinct shapes wriggle within its sweating membrane. The deck crew scatters in fright as it swells beyond the size of a man, its glistening translucent flesh straining and splitting. The tumorous knot of corruption heaves, exploding outward in a welter of pus and rotten gore. Men and women scream as it soaks them, flesh sloughing from their bones. Caustic acids dissolve the organic and mechanical in equal measure, pitting the walls and deck plating. It eats through refueling stations and arming racks, detonating ordnance stores and fuel ladders that fill the embarkation deck with fire and thick, oily smoke. A trembling cloud of pitch black unfurls from the carnage as thousands of glistening plague flies take wing into reality. They sweep over the deck, a tide of rust and corrosion spreading in their wake. With nothing but husks remaining to feast upon, the flies converge into a directed mass and smash against a reinforced bulkhead hatch. The doorway warps and sizzles as their venom eats through plasteel and iron. The bulkhead fails, its surface drooling to the deck as if struck by a melter blast, and the flies surge into the ship's veins. In the piercing glare of stab lights, the Kohor's Nazakai prepare for war in their arming chamber. Blades shriek against whetstones. Those warriors not permanently bonded with their armor now stand on low plinths as slaves machine their warplate into place. Fallen angels imbibe combat stimulants and etheric alchemical cocktails to drive the numbness from their bleached synapses before the fighting begins. The Nazakai bladesmen stand in loose ranks around a raised platform where one warrior stands alone. Eyes, once the stark green of humanity's ancestral forests, now threaded with blackened blood vessels, set into a raw mask of ritual scars, look down upon his warband. The warband of Lucius the Eternal. Lucius is the first to hear it, the building drone beyond the gooseflesh thrum of power armor, a noise born not of machine, but of pestilence. Flies explode into the arming chamber, through vents, gaps in bulkheads, and up from the mesh of the deck plating. The swarm twists and congregates into a sickening pall, ignoring the snarling legionaries and coming to roil before their leader. Slick with mucus, the vile insects mash together, flowing like inky quicksilver to form a revolting simulacrum of a human face. It utters a single word, spoken with the voice of the grave.
Come.
The face melts back into the cloud, which shudders as the flies twitch and die, a thousand tiny bodies falling onto the platform before Lucius. He stares at them for a moment, a sneer twisting his features.
Clarion?
Lucius knows she is listening. When the telepathic reply comes, it arrives with the angelic, lyrical voice of a child, wrapped around words and a tone belonging to a being more ancient than mankind.
Master.
You are unharmed?
I am. The incursion is confined to the embarkation deck for now. I can feel the crew. The rot takes root within them. This presence will spread unless it can be excised quickly.
Lucius looks to his warriors. From over 1,000 that marched with him at its height, the Kohor's Nazakai now number barely above 50. Those remaining are conceited and debauched killers, sword fighters whose highest priorities are their own conquests, and the slaves reaved to fuel their deteriorating capacity for depraved sensation. They eye Lucius hungrily, straining at the leash for the command to purge the diadem of the invading plague.
Vespertillo.
Lucius looks up into the leering mask of the raptor chieftain, hanging inverted by his talons from the ceiling of the chamber with his brethren.
Take the Rypax and secure the Ingenarium. Kill anything that attempts to disrupt our Geller field.
Vespertillo hisses an affirmation from abused vocal cords, rendered shrill and waspish from the drill of his fanged warhelm. The raptor's cloak, strips of flayed skin fashioned to resemble feathers, rustles as he swings down and claws away from the chamber with his kindred, their talons rending the deck beneath them. Lucius looks to his remaining warriors.
Cesare, Agenian, go with Ten and safeguard the Navigator's Sanctum. Chrysithius, take the rest and see to the bridge. I shall deal with the intrusion myself.
Lucius watches resentment and frustration stiffen their postures. It has been weeks since any have experienced combat beyond the dueling cages. Since Lucius's moratorium on killing within what was left of the warband, their yearning to spill blood threatens to boil over into frenzy. Gauntlets clench around sheathed blades, garishly painted faces twist in anger, and low snarls hiss from elaborate visors, carved to resemble lions and screaming eagles. Preening glory hounds, nearly all of them desire to see Lucius dead. The mutual knowledge that they are powerless to perform this deed splits the Eternal's lips in a cruel grin. None could best Lucius with a blade, and even if the unthinkable were to happen, it would not be long before the victor, unable to resist basking in the glory of their achievement, became nothing more than another wailing face upon his armor. Chrysithius in particular shows an aggressively hostile posture. Lucius can feel the ambition emanating from his lieutenant, the hunger to draw his blade and take the warband he so desperately desires to lead.
Eternal One, you must not...
Must?
Lucius's sword is at Chrysithius's throat faster than even transhuman eyes can track. The weapon is legendary, its blade radiant silver, bestowed upon Lucius by the Phoenician himself. Before he abandoned his children, he had taught the galaxy that even Primarchs could die. Lucius tilts his head.
Do tell me, what must I do? Was that the beginning of an order, Chrysithius?
Blood trickles from the tip of the blade into the lieutenant's gorget, and Lucius's smile widens.
Dearest brother, it seems you have mistaken me for yourself.
Cesare lays an ivory gauntlet upon Chrysithius's pauldron, the sullen apothecary's tone calm and measured.
Brother.
Lucius is disappointed to see Chrysithius, after lingering for a moment, turn away, salving his ego by barking orders to the other warriors making for the bridge. Lucius watches them go, allowing himself a moment to savor the amusing bitterness radiating from his warband. Fleeting pleasure notwithstanding, such displays serve another of Lucius's purposes. Chrysithius and the rest of the cohort's Nasakai had shown Lucius that despite all they have lost of themselves in thrall to the youngest god, they still feel enough to hate him. Their frayed synapses, degenerated by excess and atrocity within the Eye of Terror, can still manage that. Sheathing his sword and stepping down from the platform, dead flies pop and crush beneath Lucius's boots as he departs, turning down the corridor towards the embarkation deck. If there is any fell creature of the warp that Lucius loathes most, it is the servants of the Plague God. Things with broken faces and bodies covered in dislocated vestigial limbs lunge and stagger towards him, leaving slicks of pus and straw-colored fluid upon the deck in their wake. The demons have superiority in numbers, but their lumbering, arrhythmic assault has failed to even come close to landing a blow against him. He hasn't even troubled to draw his blade. As he sways and dances aside from clubbing limbs and weeping claws, Lucius scans the flaming wreck that the embarkation deck has become. This rabble could not have pierced the Gellerfield alone. Something is anchoring them here, the one who sent Lucius the challenge in the arming chamber. Lucius hears it then, through the moans of demons and the droning beat of locust wings, the voice of the grave calling to him once more.
Rejoice!
The smoke and insects part to show a hunched figure in baroque, corroded armor.
The era of pox and contagion is upon you.
The figure approaches, its gait slow and labored, leaning upon a war scythe longer than it is tall. Lucius sees the crumbling iconography of the 14th Legion between the rivulets of drool and clusters of wriggling buboes. Death Guard. The demons part around their champion, shrinking back in deference. Lucius sneers, his hand upon the pommel of his sword now.
I'm afraid not. Your revolting rabble has turned my ship into a flaming bucket of filth. It'll take weeks to rid it of your stench.
The plague champion makes a breathless, heaving noise as it gives voice to strangled laughter, though its chest does not move. A lipless mouth gapes behind its incomplete visor.
This truth can never be expunged once it has taken root.
The sword is in Lucius's grip now, and his barbed, demonic lash spools into his right hand. Venom drools from its barbs. His grin is a cage of needles.
You are Death Guard, eh? It has been long since I've last seen your kind. Have I had the pleasure?
There was a time when perhaps this body marched beside you to erect the dominion of the Throne of Lies. But that is irrelevant. Gone. There is no longer any I, only we. We are Pestilence Everlasting, the harbinger of the universal truth of decay. We are the end where all things shall lie. Even you, Blade Bearer.
Lucius moves in a blur, his martial artistry almost too fast for the eye to follow. The lash snaps out, tearing the air as it coils around the scythe, wrenching the champion's guard open. The tip of the radiant sword strikes, lancing through the filth-caked lens of the Death Guard's left eye. It carves through corrupted flesh and rotten bone before punching out through the back of its helm, fouled and glistening. The blow is perfect, but the plague champion is unmoved. Lucius growls, trying to wrench the blade free, but it holds fast as the effluent slathering it calcifies. The lash spasms as greater toxins than its own venom blacken its length. A slow, choking chuckle echoes from the ruined helm.
I see the chains wound about you, shackling your destiny to the whims of the child. He was once your patron, but now he has abandoned you. Like a dying body, you rail against the bacteria within that will consume your flesh. But your efforts wither, slackening, and soon you shall grow cold. The rot shall lay claim to all. Even for me, you talk too much.
Lucius snarls. He plants his clawed boot in the Death Guard's swollen gut, arching his back and kicking free. The sword tears the champion's head in half as it rips loose in a welter of gushing sickness. A series of lightning-fast slashes carve open its torso. Another takes its arm at the elbow. The lash tears the other from its socket. Gobbets of blighted fat and millipedes covered in coarse black hair slither from the gaping wounds. The laughter never stops.
You are enjoying this. Maybe we have some common ground after all.
We exist beyond pain, beyond pleasure. We have transcended such fleeting things. They exist, but are beneath our care. The transience of flesh yields to the everlasting endurance of the plague, the fortitude of decay.
Lucius leaps forward, an overhead slash splitting the Death Guard from collar to groin. Black blood sprays the deck. Tendons snap as the halves sag and peel apart.
Fortified indeed.
The laughter booms now from the maw of every plague demon ringing Lucius in union with their master. At some unheard call, they scurry to their champion, piling atop its broken form and wriggling into the corpse. Pus and other foulness sheets over them as they congeal into a single, massive form. Tree trunk limbs take shape. Thousands of eyes and snapping lamprey mouths riddle a body the size of a dreadnought. The aggregate demon looms over Lucius. Its steps shake the deck.
You are breathing your last, Bladebearer. You and your preening followers. The shroud of life is falling. You near the end of the path that leads to the serenity of the grave.
It reaches out with a mitt of writhing demon flesh.
Long has the grandfather watched you. He has yearned to draw you close so you might learn the true nature of eternity. Let us show it to you. Let us carry you across that threshold.
Lucius slashes through the reaching arm. Severed, it crashes to the deck, dissolving into a trio of demons that giggle as they dive back into the mass. The limb reforms in a snap of rotting fat and abused bone.
The grave shall have you, by your will or by ours.
Lucius dives to the side as a clubbing fist smashes a crater into the deck. He makes to lunge forward, but staggers. His fingers rebel, spasming around the hilt of his sword as though the ligaments are strings tugged by some invisible puppeteer. The lapse in concentration nearly costs him his head as the demon's fist hurtles a hand span from his face. With a snarl, Lucius tightens his grip and the spasms recede. He reaches out to the demon at the helm of his ship once more.
Clarion, have we broken free of the storm?
We have, Master. Barely.
Lucius throws himself away from another bludgeoning strike.
Vent the embarkation deck. Now!
As you wish.
The massive shutters at the end of the deck fill the air with the shriek of metal as they peel back to reveal the void beyond. The flickering atmospheric enclosure is all that separates Lucius from the vacuum. The demon staggers, its corpse flesh hide blackening and smoldering as the light of the Geller field spills over it. Lucius rolls back over his shoulder, coming up in a crouch. He drives his sword down, sinking half its length into the deck.
Do it!
There is an explosion of silence. The demon flails, thrashing for purchase as decompression hurls it into the void. Lucius's flesh freezes, numbing in the silence as titanic pressure tears at his armor. He holds fast to his sword, anchoring him to the deck as the demon spins beyond the diadem. Chains of flickering gold and scarlet bracket it as the demon dies to the kiss of the warship's guns. The silence within the Eternal's mind is curdled as the caged souls of all his killers assail him as one. They are always there, but now that battle has calmed, they redouble their efforts, begging and cursing. The atmospheric field shimmers back to life, and the shutters clang and rattle as they rumble back into place. Ice crackles from Lucius's armor as he flexes his limbs. The numbness of his existence returns to him, replacing the numbness of the void. Another victory. Another adversary that has failed to land a blow upon Lucius the Eternal. Rising to his feet, he spins the lingering filth from his sword. He raises it to his face, tracing its tip over the network of pale red scars, before settling on a rare strip of unmarred flesh. He doesn't even feel the blade until it scrapes against the bone of his skull. He doesn't feel the flesh part, the warmth of his blood spilling down his face as a new scar is born. He had been able to feel the ritual once, his way of honoring each vanquished foe, but that time is long gone. Lucius stands for a while, alone. He looks down at his hand, seeing the otherworldly forces struggling for control just beneath the flesh.
They are getting worse.
His gaze flicks up to the silent void, in the calm that comes so rarely and so fleetingly within the eye. The deck around him is silent, but for the anguished screams rattling behind his own eyes, the creaking of tormented iron, and the distant laughter of the grave.